They got the internet so much later in life. And the example that I like to use is like my dad. I've grown up in Dallas, Texas my whole entire life. And if I tell my dad that the CIA was involved in JFK's assassination, he almost wants to hit me because he doesn't believe in conspiracy.
Guys, scroll past all this. We played all this part. So it's about 4 minutes into this clip. We'll play the rest of where the boomers are talking. That's what we talked about. The boomers, not the, you know what? Just skip it. Let's go to Sean. Y'all, when you queue it up, let me know. It's all good. Let's go to Sean real quick while we're here. Sean calling from, I can't tell where people are calling from anymore. Sean, where are you calling from? California.
Hey, Robin. Sean from California. Long time. Good to hear you again.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling from that fall, by the way, brother?
I felt better.
Well, you know, you're right about the ice and heat, but, you know, some of that DNA force will help the nerve tissues. And I believe Alex said you guys are making a new formula on that. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about that before we go into my topic?
Well, it basically what the DNA force does is it keeps the telomeres from dying quicker. And so it lets these nerve endings live longer, essentially. And by having them live longer, it sort of like is the fountain of youth in some weird way, because your cells aren't dying as quickly, so they live longer, so then they don't have to be reborn as much. So you basically have that going. We'll go to the clip after the call. Go ahead, Sean. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, well let me touch base real quick on that, Rob. I'm not a doctor, of course, but I have used your DNA force after I had some surgery on my arm, and you could, go over the scar tissue, and I can actually still feel the sensation because it helped with the nerves being revitalized and growing in after the surgery. I had a bicep tear back in 2016, so I had to have the tendon replaced. So just a little mini hack.
Let me tell you this. Actually, Ultra DNA Revival is basically the replacement of DNA Force Plus, which we used to sell. So that's one you can pick up, and I do have that, and I have been taking it, but I think the quickness that the bruising has gone away, I attribute to the acupuncture 100%.
To get that tissue feeling bright and new, I can't help but plug that. And I wonder if I were to stack it with methylene blue. Just saying. So,
well, I'll tell you this. Let me stop you again. Everybody was like, oh, you need to go get checked for a concussion. But I wasn't feeling, I didn't have any concussion symptoms. But I did take 2 methylene blues that night. I call it, this is my concussion preventive protocol. And so, my head's felt fine except for a little pain in my jaw where my face hit. But other than that, you know, it's been smooth sailing mentally.
Oh, good deal. And as long as you didn't black out or pass out, worst case scenario, you might have had a walking concussion. And that's another story I can go into for another time. Since it's kind of laid back here, Rob, I wanted to know if I could invite your callers and yourself, of course, to our national-assembly.net conference call we do every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific. I got the info in front of me if you want me to put it out there.
So that's 6 p.m. Pacific, which would be 8 p.m. Central?
I believe so. And you can go onto the free conference call app, and that word to get on that online meeting ID would be National Assembly, no spaces. Or if you go to national-assembly.net, put in the /, and then conference-call, and you're able to find the phone numbers or the link to the app and just call in and hear the roll call of the different states that call in. We're doing educational review over, let's see, we did, I believe, the 13th Amendment last week, so we'll be around the 14th Amendment this week. And, some of this stuff has a lot of overlap with what's going on with Alex. And something I want to touch on more in depth, too, when Harrison started out the show with, talking about Karl Marx and how JFK mentioned those newspaper owners had given him a little bit more money. And now this ties in also into this boomer versus millennial argument. You and I are Gen X. We kind of know how it is where, money's getting tighter, but we're just going to make it work. We're not necessarily like, oh, no, the world is ending. We're just going to figure out a new way.
You got to think outside the box. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the call, Sean. Hopefully people can jump onto your conference call tonight and talk about the 14th Amendment, which, they want to take out.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just sea moss and shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Final hour of the War Room is upon us. I got your calls lined up. We got Jefferson, Nathaniel, Brian, Anthony, and others on the line. If you want to join in, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. I want to go to the end of that first clip of the boomer versus millennial debate. We saw earlier in the last hour, it was Owen Schroyer, Harrison Smith, and primetime Alex Stein all giving their kind of take of where the boomers just don't have a clue of what's really going on, kind of basically referring to them as Luddites. Now we're going to see the boomers come back. The boomers get to rebuttal. So here's the boomer rebuttal.
Them, or my challenge to them is, do what I did. Go out and take it.
It's a funny question because I think it over all time, the younger people have always felt that the older people had something that they didn't have access to, and the older people think that the younger people have greater expectations than maybe they should have. I think the whole notion of a gap between generations, this is so not new that it's having an effect on the current political climate is particularly interesting. But having been a teacher and seeing a lot of millennials, I think there's so much that's being broken deliberately for you all coming through. I don't know that I would call it the affordability problem or whatever, but I think expectations have been given to you that aren't necessarily fair.
Time.
Well, so much more to
say. But we have a lot more time. Frank, go ahead.
These are, of course, sweeping generalizations, but the question is teed up that way. My biggest concern is that the millennial generation has embraced the idea that the world is irrelevant. It's about us. It's about the sharing of power, distribution of it, controlling it. My fear is, as was mentioned, you are about to inherit a very messy world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not with us in trying to make it more consistent with our vital security interests and freedoms, it's not going to be recoverable, I fear. And that's what makes me most worried about the next generations.
So you're either with the boomers or you're with the terrorists. I think that's what George Bush said. The Great MAGA Divide, Baby Boomers versus Millennials. You can watch the rest of it. We'll play probably another, at least one more clip in this hour, probably two. Maybe I'll play one more in this half and then another one in the second half. But I'm going to go to your calls now. Don't forget, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. Let's go to Jefferson and from Virginia, I believe. This is the Virginia Jefferson that calls in a lot. How's it going, Jefferson?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it's Jefferson from Virginia.
Yep.
You know, all boomers are not the same, for one. I'm a late boomer.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the same information that people like Donald Trump did. Donald Trump heard about Nikola Tesla from his uncle. when he was a kid. Donald Trump, a boomer, heard Ike give his farewell address when he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear about these things until like 1980 when I was 20 years old.
Right.
So the boomer, early boomers knew about the technological advancements that were hidden from us, not talked about from us. You know, when they were in Vietnam, and all the night vision goggles and the sensors and all that stuff that was kept classified was being worked on, all the sensors and stuff, the Rumsfelds of the world were learning about technology that we weren't being told about, the later boomers. So there's a schism in the boomers that most of the millennials and X Generation X people don't recognize, that the late boomers saw the JFK assassination Zapruder film when we were like 14 or 15 years old. And some of us said, this doesn't make any sense. How'd they pull that off? This means the CIA has to be in control of everything. And our older generational brothers and uncles basically looked at us like we were crazy for thinking that the CIA could be involved in killing a president and getting away with it. So we became the crazy uncles of the next generation, where the late boomers are saying, no, the whole world is a big lie. And the boomers got away with profiting off the big lie of the Cold War and all the other things, and the the financialization of America was all to their benefit. And now they're acting like, well, you guys are expecting too much out of life. You know, we left you a mess, and that wasn't accidental either.
Well, and I don't think it's these people's fault that are sitting there that the reason the mess is there. It's definitely a lot of, you know, institutional failures that are going on. Like myself personally, don't trust doctors anymore. Don't feel like going to a regular Western medicine doctor's office, because I don't trust that they have my interests at heart. You know, I think they're beholden to pharmaceutical companies. And that's just the way I'm going to live the rest of my life. You know, it doesn't matter. That they have no way that they can repair their trust after what they did with the pandemic. And literally institutionally killing people for money. There's a chart that came out that showed the different amounts of money you could get. I think Connecticut was the cheapest. You only get about $8,000 or $18,000 for killing somebody with COVID in Connecticut. But then some states, you get over $100,000 if you killed somebody with COVID. How'd they kill you with COVID? They stuck a ventilator down your throat. They wouldn't give you any treatment. They told you to go home till you were really sick, so then you could come back and get suffocated with a ventilator. So that's why, you know, the boomers have this trust of these institutions. They still trust. They trust the news. They trust like the Council on Foreign Relations, even though that wasn't created during the boomer. I guess it was kind of created during the boomer era. They trust these institutions that they have their best interests at heart. They trust the medical profession because they've always gone to the doctor and the doctor's always had a pill for them. They trust Big Agra making poison and serving that to you as food. They trust these things because when they were growing up, they were conditioned through books and media and television to trust these things. And they never questioned it because they never had another form of information. And so the millennials, I see where they're coming from, because they grew up in a world that still had the boomer golden age to it. They saw the sunset of it and going down. And then reality kicked them in the head in 2008 when everything, you know, kind of took a dump, so to speak, in the economy. But that's where I see this boomer millennial divide from, is the trust in institutions to zero trust in institutions. And I'm sort of in the middle of it.
Invested economically in all of these scams that were going to lead to where we are right now in the depopulation agenda. And, you know, there were eco-science that were written that basically explained how all this was going to be turned against the later generations to the benefit of the boomers, the early boomers at least. And they just don't want to admit that they were in on what was coming. Some of them were aware of it and a lot of them weren't, but they still benefited economically from investing in all the things that then turned on us, like big pharma and big oil, right?
Well, and now the boomers are getting it turned on them, where it's like, hey, wow, you're getting a lot of this Social Security. How about we just kill your ass? Here's a flu shot.
Well, yeah. To some degree, that's happening to them at the last section of their life. But, you know, if you're 79 years old, you've already extracted everything you're going to get.
You've got all your fun. Yeah, you got it all. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. It's crazy. And the boomers don't see, but at the end of the day, you know, who's still in power? you know, Trump, Lindsey Graham, Tom Tillis, you know, these are curmudgeons, and they have no idea what the world has now become, because they've never had to, like, they followed the system and the system provided. The system's not providing anymore when you put energy and time into it. The system just wants to take more out of you.
It's all or nothing. You have to be in on investing in the AI data centers, or you're going to miss out. Everything is overarching into the data center matrix now. And everybody's saying, even Bernie Fink is saying, if you don't get in on board on this, you're going to lose. You know, it's all or nothing right down this. Let's build the panopticon digital matrix where everybody's surveilled. Everybody's predicted what they're going to do ahead of time. And the social credit score is entrenched, and you're never going to get out of this trap we put you in. So just be a good boy.
Yep. No, so you're right. That's what, and as long as you believe in the system and trust in the system, like the boomers, you know, they're like, oh, we'll take care of you. But they're not really taking care of you. They're taking care of the immigrants, though. Migrants get taken care of. Well, you show up with nothing, with nothing but an open hand, and there's a Democrat there ready to fill it with your tax money.
When does an immigrant stop being a foreigner?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When they finally naturalize successfully, that's when. But everybody seems to think just because you're an immigrant, somehow you're one of us.
Yeah.
Just because you aspire to be on asylum in our country doesn't mean you're not a foreigner.
Right.
So we just always use the wrong word when we're talking about people that are foreigners here. Somebody that has put in an application to be an immigrant is still a foreigner, even if they're having kids here, until they become a citizen. Then they're no longer a foreigner.
Right.
But this is too far for most people to consider that they've been led to believe something other than that, that somehow just getting here makes you one of us.
Right. And I tell you what, you go through the process, you become a citizen, open arms, come on in, you know. You got to stop creating a system where you're bringing people in and teaching them how to become criminals. We can't have this. We can't have a country where two people are just two people are stealing what they say 46.6 million in fraudulent claims. This is just two people. And they probably got some people underneath them that are helping them, but two people responsible for $46 million of fraud. You think that's the only people doing fraud? You know, crazy. Thanks for the call, Jefferson. You got it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
And somehow only Doge was able to find that.
Oh, right? I know. Yeah.
All that scamming going on, and nobody can find it with all the computerized systems we have. But Doge comes in, and 3 months later, they're finding all this stuff. Like nobody could have done that before.
Well, and I don't think they thought it was going to be as successful as it was, because they were, you know, Elon just turned on the fire hose and like, yeah, I can show you how we could find all the fraud. Let's go. And then people are like, wait a minute. He's showing us all the fraud. Wait a minute. We didn't know it was actually going to work. We thought it was like government where it wouldn't work, where he would just kind of like bide time and nothing would happen. We didn't think he was actually going to do anything. We got to get rid of this. Let's start burning down Teslas. You know, let's stop burning dealerships. Let's have people protest because he's coming after our Social Security. He's got access to our private information. Guess what? The entire government has access to your private information, you bunch of douchebags. Okay? They're robbing us blind, and nobody's doing anything about it except a bunch of lip service. You know, they had some muckraker groups like, yeah, we figured out how the Dominicans are basically using food stamps and scamming people. Oh, really? It took a little outside group to figure this out? No one else could figure this out? And what'll happen? Oh, a strongly worded letter to the Dominican Republic. It's nothing. It's just like, oh, we're not going to do, like, there's no enforcement level on any of this stuff. Like, what are J.D. Vance and Stephen Miller going to do? Are they going out to get people? I don't know. Is there a task force that's dragging people in? Because I guarantee it's more than two people. It's more than two Somali women that are out there defrauding the country. Stephen Miller said it was $2 trillion. Ugh. All right, Jefferson, thanks for the call. Let's go to Nathaniel in Rhode Island. How's it going, Nathaniel?
Hi. First of all, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, and is the volume okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, great. So I was laughing at what you were saying because, when you said douchebags, because, what I want to say is it's as if the whole universe is a big bad joke. And there's a verse that I read in the Bible and I can't get out of my head. It's from Isaiah, and it says, "For behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." So every day when I wake up and become aware of my surroundings, et cetera, at some point I realize that, wait a minute, if this universe won't even be remembered, then what does that mean about news, politics, et cetera? And maybe you could give me your opinion, or maybe you can pray for me or something, because I'm a theologian, I'm a philosopher. And do you think this universe will be deleted?
You know, I don't know if it'll be deleted per se, but we've seen civilizations in the past. You know, they're finding every day, they're finding mountains that they thought were mountains are actually temples that have been buried, for either intentionally or unintentionally. So that's Isaiah 65, line 17 through 18. I'll read this out for everybody. "For look, I am ready to create new heavens and a new earth. The former ones will not be remembered, and no one will think about them anymore. But be happy and rejoice forever over what I am about to create." Now, that is a very interesting thing. Yeah. So then you could say, well, all this stuff is meaningless, so I could just go out and murder people. No, we still have to have a society. We still have to have mores and laws and roles for people to create a society. Society is very complex. So you can't just go out half cock and go, well, I'm not going to do anything anymore. You know, we still have to hold, we have to hold fast, all right, to what we want to see. And yeah, none of this is going to be easy. And I bitch about it that they're not doing enough, but we never heard about this stuff under Biden, under Obama, under George Bush. You know, they say George Bush actually wanted to do tort reform, which is like all these, you know, programs for the poor people, but are basically just control mechanisms to keep people under the thumb of the Democrat Party. And he wanted to like do some reform on that. It's like, not so fast. Here's 9/11. Now, I don't think George Bush would have done a very good job, because I don't think he was a very strong leader. Plus, his dad's got all these, just dad's got bad mojo around him. The whole family's kind of sick. So I don't know how that would have turned out. But you see with Trump trying to do it, and they're having conniption fits about it. They're like, you can't touch our Social Security. You can't touch our entitlement programs. That's how we control people. So I don't want to be part of the control atmosphere. I want to be part of the group that's like, hey, let's make art. Let's have a good society. Let's have healthy children. Let's have a clean environment. And some of those are pretty kind of leftist mentalities, but I'm also like, let's get rid of the criminals. If you're a criminal, you're not part of our society anymore. You've decided you're not part of it. So let's stop releasing criminals into the streets to kill more people, and let's stop putting them away or putting them hard labor. You know, I think these women, 20 years hard labor. You fraud the government, you defraud the taxpayers, 20 years hard labor. Go pay your debt to society. And then after that, hey, you can come back. You know, so this 25-year-old, she'll only be 45. But she'll have paid her debt to society. And that's what we got to do. I'll give you a last word, Nathaniel,
yeah,
go ahead.
We were basically betrayed by Donald Trump. And we need the Messiah. And I just want people to please pray for me, because I've been burned by so many people, including Savannah Hernandez. Okay. So if you want to talk about that one day, Savannah Hernandez burned me. I've been almost ruined by people such as Savannah Hernandez. So please pray for me. And Lord willing, maybe I'll call back in 2 years.
So you haven't called in 2 years? Well, I'm sorry. You know, bad things happen all the time. I fell out of an attic the other day. Didn't think that was going to happen. You know, and guess what? I'm dealing with it. You know, I'll tell you this, Nathaniel. When these adverse situations happen, it's how you deal with them and how you move forward. That's how you're going to be remembered, not how whining and complaining. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying how you deal with this stuff going forward is how we're all going to be measured with all these things that are going on. And I think to some degree we have been we were sort of hoodwinked by Donald Trump and the Trump administration. They came in and said they were going to do a lot. I think once they started doing just a little bit, they started seeing how deep the fraud went. I mean, I remember an article. It was like a $4 trillion black hole where payments were going and they couldn't track them, which is like bull. We know that's bull. But that was just a fun, all these, was it the breakaway society? That's what that stuff was funding. And you think how long that's been going. You know, so, but the good thing is we're learning a lot more than we did, and it's pissing us off because it's not happening fast enough. You know, I want to see these people. Let's move. You know, it seemed to be really quick and convenient. You know, the second Biden got into office, well, they were, that same day that he got into office, they were arresting J6ers and putting them in jail. And they had that pipeline moving really quickly. It's amazing. The rhinos can't get the same amount of justice for people that are defrauding the government that quickly. It's like, oh, no, it's going to take our time. We have to. And they have to do this where judges aren't just going to let these people go because they bring fraud in front of judges. And judges are like, we like the fraud. We want more of it. So they just let them go. Thanks for calling, Nathaniel. Let's go to Brian in California. You got about 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Brian, how's it going today?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good.
My first time calling in.
Right,
yeah,
on.
Earlier, you guys were talking to me, I had something going on about 9/11. I remember when it happened, my friend called me up and I turned on, he's like, turn on the TV. And I look out and I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, the Twin Towers just got blew up. And I said to myself, I said to him, well, it looks like George Bush finally did it, got what he wanted.
A new Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the last two callers got me started about a whole other bunch of things.
Well, you know, I don't think George Bush knew that was going to happen. Because when they, you could go look at that. I think Michael Moore put out a documentary, and they show George Bush being talked to, and somebody whispers in his ear while he's reading to the kids. I think on the upside, he's got a book that's upside down, or it's called My Pet Goat. I think is what it was called. My Pet Goat was the name of the book. And he's reading that to the kids. And somebody whispers in his ear, the Twin Towers have been hit. And then a few minutes later, they come back and say, oh, the other tower has been hit. And he looks like a deer in headlights. Now, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, they all knew it was going on. Or maybe Bush didn't think they'd actually do it. Maybe he'd heard about it and said, they're not going to do that. No one's going to crash a plane into the World Trade Center. And they did it. Brian, I'm going to hold you over because we got about 55 seconds left into this, and we'll come back for the final segment of the War Room. Don't forget, last day of the BOGO sale, buy one, get one free of T3 iodine and methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. And yeah, we're reminiscing about old stuff, but it's interesting. What's old is new. Alex likes to say that a lot. What's old is new, and we're seeing people talk about the hijackers coming into this country, and we're seeing people talk about alpha-gal syndrome and acupuncture and BPA and how we've been talking about this stuff for years. That's why they want to shut us up, because they don't like you having this information. They want you being a stupid boomer stuck in a closet pretending everything's great. It's not great, but we can make it better. Let's do it. Let's go.
So excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Final segment of the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. I just hit the 70,000, I guess, follower plateau. So it's been going up and down around it, but now I think I've finally cleared the hurdle. Because it seems like when I get to 70,000, then they kill a bunch of, I guess, bot accounts that are following me, which is great because I don't like bots. Sick of the bots. All right, we're going to go back to your calls, though. Don't forget, at thealexjonesstore.com, it's the last day of the massive buy one, get one free sale with T3 and methylene blue tincture. Check it out. Methylene blue, pretty amazing stuff. I'm a pill methylene blue guy rather than a tincture guy. The pills go down nice and easy, and they still turn your pee blue, so you know they're working. Among giving you a very clear head, it took away my brain fog. I don't have brain fog anymore. And I don't even take it every day. Like I said, I took it a couple weeks ago and I haven't taken it since then as a concussion protocol, which I'm sure that mortifies people who are like into the system, who bow down to their Lord and saviors over at the doctor's office who are prescribing them all their antidepressants and, antibiotics and drugs that don't really work, but mask symptoms. And with that, we go to Anthony in New York. Been on hold for over half an hour. Anthony, how you doing?
Rob, my man, appreciate you taking my call, brother, and sorry to hear about your accident. Never fun to get hurt.
But no, it's not.
On the up and up, right? The up and up. Got to stay positive. But, dude, thanks for taking my call, and there's a lot to, I guess, unpack. I guess there's so many topics. You know, I'm a bleeding patriot over here. I'm a descendant of John Holland, who's a famous pilgrim. He's on the Mayflower Compact.
Wow.
And, so I bleed America. I am pro-America. Was a Trump guy. You know, definitely have a interesting relationship with my, I'm sure, like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just his relationship with Israel is definitely unhealthy. It's a love hate right now. I think he's doing a lot of good, but also you see the other stuff and you just are like, oh, what the heck? And, you know, this is coming from, you know, going back to the millennial bloomer kind of debate. I'm a millennial myself. I was born in 1990 and, you know, also September 11th, it's very close home to me. My mom's cousin was a fireman, Manny Davale. They have on 1st and 14th Street, they have a plaque nominated to him over there. But and my brother's named after him. So, you know, I can remember that day personally. I was 11, but it was very chaotic and a lot going on. And, you know, I remember going to Manhattan College up in the Bronx, and that's kind of, I remember seeing that documentary, Loose Change. And that's when I kind of started opening up my eyes to saying, what the heck is going on? You know, I always kind of question things, but you just like, as you know, I was 11 when it happened, so I wasn't, you know, somewhat conscious.
Well, and you're like, who?
Really, you know?
Why would the country bomb its own buildings? You know, and people aren't thinking Reichstag at the time. They're like, well, you know, the government wouldn't do that. Why would they kill all those people? You know, and then you look back at it, and you're like, well, the government would kill all these people. You know, and you're calling about data centers. It's like, why do they want all these data centers? Well, they don't want them for your health. I know that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The reason I call about data centers, I had kind of an epiphany moment yesterday in a sense because, you know, I'm obviously Info Warriors. I know that's not a thing anymore, but Alex Jones Network guy. For
Info Warriors never die, brother. Info Warriors never die.
Info Warriors for life, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just seeing how the New World Order is all playing out and their cards, you know, just very in tune to everything. And I can see these AI data centers are almost like another card game and they're playing Trump with it. And he doesn't even, you know, another thing like Israel played him. He's getting played right now by all these big tech guys. They're ushering the New World Order. And I just saw a video the other day, the water that they're going to need to do these centers, besides all the radiation, and other bullshit, yes, that's going on with that. The amount of water that they're going to need to do all this stuff is frightening. And they're already, and I just saw the Rio Grande video. Some guy was saying the Rio Grande is getting dried up. Like that's never happened. And it's because of a data center. Now, in theory, if we put all these data centers all over the place and in time, water is going to become scarce. And Dan Pana said it himself. He's like water. All the elites are buying up water right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got a question, and again, BlackRock, this is like, again, Trump stopped BlackRock from buying all the single-family homes. So you're like, all right, that's a good thing. But now, these data centers, they're going up everywhere. The water is going to be the next war. And it is a warning to everybody because, you know, things happen slow, but I can proceed and see the future that water is going to be a scarcity, and it's going to be a thing, and I just pray for everybody because it falls biblically. I heard, I believe his name is Daniel that just called, praying for him as well. And just remember, Jesus, God is in control. And we just need to stay as close as possible to right now because the biblical time seems almost playing out in Revelation with how the Euphrates River is drying up. They said by 2040, it might actually be completely dry. And that's when the angel, you know, the four angels in prophecy of John come up. And
that's when it gets interesting.
And I could see where the 5G towers come into play because everyone that took the COVID shot, now they have metal in them. Now they're going to put all these 5G towers out, and you're going to have everyone getting fried to death. It's so scary, the time we're living in. And I just, you know, stay close to your family and stay close to God because we're living through a very, very biblical time. And you can see how the state of Israel, which we know, was created by the Zionist movement back with Theodor Herzl, back when the, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution, and they instituted this plan to bring the Federal Reserve banking system in to control everybody, create this modern-day slave system, have complete control over everybody. And you can see ever since the JFK assassination, we have been completely under a hijack of the New World Order. And it, as a millennial, watching the towers fall and seeing, you know, they instituted slavery in our generation through student loans. Mm-hmm. All our generation is freaking in debt from student loans.
Right.
And look at the housing market. Our generation cannot have that dream of the boomers did, where you could go get a regular job and work like a normal person and create a family, create a life. Yeah. And that goes even deeper because, like, the two system of, like, you know, the Rockefellers creating, oh, let's tax the women, let's create feminism. It's so deep, right? It goes so far freaking deep that it's mind-boggling, and you could see the New World Order playing out. So I just want to give a warning to everybody to basically just say, go invest into a water thing to naturally, you know, I've seen things on Instagram where there's independent water companies that you can get solar-powered water to your home indefinitely. And I just think in the next, yeah, you know, 10 years, that's going to be an issue.
So yeah, they pull it out of the, they pull it out of the air. They pull the water out of the air. There's a lot of, you see a lot of these things, yeah, and you can make these too. You can make these yourself. You don't need to buy a machine that does it.
Okay, no way. All right.
That's cool. No, people set these things up all the time. There's different ways to do it. You could learn. You go research online. You can build systems that will pull water out of the air. Now, I would still filter that water after you pull it out of the air. I would get you a good gravity filter or a UV light system. There's ways to filter that because of all the crap in the air that they're spraying. You're probably getting a little bit of that in with whatever you're pulling out of the atmosphere. But yeah, I agree with you. Water is going to be the next big thing. Who has the waters? Who's going to make the rules? And you know, people are going to dam up rivers. They're going to cut off rivers. They're going to divert rivers into these data centers. Now the thing about the data center is it runs. But you have to have people running these things at all time, and they're not going to be. They're too big, and there are too many of them, and they're not going to have enough people there to protect these data centers at some point. When we see the full power of them being unleashed, people will start, you know, taking things under their own accord, and you'll see things change. Plus, I think the AI bubble is going to burst at some point. There's not going to be all these AI companies. So enjoy the free AI while you got it now, or the cheap AI, because it's going to get a lot more expensive. And eventually there will only be two companies running it. They're showing some Mad Max on right now. Which, yeah, I mean, that was the future. These guys are controlling the water.
No, and you know, where I thought of that was I took my brother to a movie. You know, he's a grown, he's 24 now. But a long time ago, that movie Rango, and it was with Johnny Depp, and it said, if you control the water, you control everything. And you know how Hollywood is. I'm in Hollywood myself. Actually, if I could plug a movie, I have my movie coming out at AMC June 26th. It's called Jacked, 1980s, if people want to look it up on YouTube to see the trailer. I'm the bad guy in it.
Jet, anyway, J-E-T? J-E-T? Is that
Jacked,
true?
Like J-A-C-K-E-D.
Jacked.
1980s. Yeah, if you look on YouTube, you'll see the trailer. I'm the main antagonist in it. I'll plug that real quick. But I'm in Hollywood, so, you know, I see the deception, you know, ever since I've gotten into it. I mean, I see, you know, that actually one of those great documentaries, Out of Shadows, that came out during COVID, about two stunt guys that kind of saw how the CIA and everything was intertwined with Hollywood and how they use the media and everything. And that's how COVID happened. You could tell they were just, you know, it was all play. It all was a big scam using the media, using, you know, it all started with the radio, then moved to television, but it was a conditioning period through the radio to trust these things. Like you said, the boomers were trusting that that is the conditioning. So by the time we got to COVID, you know, look, it said 75 to 80% of the people took the shots. That's frightening how many people are trusting something without, like,
well, and I would say only half of those probably went out and got the shot because they trusted the system. The other half were coerced because they had to coerce a lot of people. I know a lot of people that didn't want to take it that did take it because they were like, well, my job told me I had to take it.
Well, and you know, I'm as a New Yorker, we hustle, right? So I had to take the shot to keep working in Hollywood. You think I'm a fool? I freaking took the vaccine, the whole thing, because at one time they first said, the first thing was, oh, you can't work till you have a COVID shot. All right, bet. Find it, made a fake thing. Then the second was you have to take the booster. So I did this booster, you know, I just signed something. Yeah. So I worked through Hollywood with a fake card, and I was like, oh, this is like being, you know.
Well, that's why we need data centers, bro. We got to be able to track you in real time. That's what we need the data center for.
You think they like this phone call right now? I'm getting probably tracked right out of this phone
call,
bro.
They're like, oh, we got to go find Anthony. We got to kick Anthony's ass.
Hey, you know, I'm more concerned about people. I love people. And my point is I just want my call is basically to just warn people, like, seriously, take care of your family. Like, when you see everybody looking pretty in Hollywood, you should see the process to make them look pretty.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
I mean, it's all a lie. It's like, it's such plaster, a lie, guys. Like, don't
plaster and guide wires.
Don't worry about your cars. Don't worry about the. Take care of your family. Like, buy land. Get the natural resources, buy gold, more importantly, I think right now. I think gold and silver
is
probably the best commodity to buy right now. And then, you know what? Hey, I'm a crypto guy because I think it's a slave system in disguise, but at the right time, you can make your money when you can and then take care of your family with it.
You know?
I mean, make your buck when you can.
All right, I got to jump. I got a few more calls to get to. You got about 11 minutes.
Thank you having me on, brother.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. It was a great call. All right, let's go to Nick in North Carolina. Thank you, Nick. How's it going today?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hi.
The other guys were co-workers. Today, co-workers a lot.
You there? Can you hear me? Oh, I guess he hung up. All right, let's go to Michael in Ohio. Go ahead, Michael. How you doing today?
Good, brother. Good. Thank you. Hey, I'm going to get you on X. I hear all these people preaching problems. I got solutions, brother.
Let's go.
One, abandon the Republican and Democrat Party in your state.
Yeah.
We got to flood the system with independent candidates.
I agree.
That way, there's no primary. You're guaranteed to be on the ballot.
Right.
And you're not going to get your nomination pulled by your party head because they don't like your politics.
And you don't need money to run anymore. You can just do it on social media. If your ideas are good, people are going to be attracted to them.
And I think people are so sick of Republican, Democrat, they're going to see that independent label and they're going to be like, that's my guy right there. That's the guy I want.
The people that are thinking. Yeah, exactly. The thinking people. And that's who you want. You want the thinkers. You don't want the drones.
And then number two is there are three offices we got to take back at the county level with good independent constitutionalist candidates. One is the judgeship.
Yeah.
Two are sheriffs. Three are prosecutors. If we can secure just those three seats in one county in any state, they can bring charges against anybody that has affected COVID shots. I'm talking data centers. I mean, if it affects your county, they can bring charges against those people for their corruption. And I know in Ohio, I don't know how this is in all the other states. You'd have to look it up for your state. But in Ohio, you don't have to have any background in law enforcement to be a sheriff. You simply have to be 18 and have graduated high school to be a judge. Same thing.
There's some judgeships. You don't have to have. You don't have to be a lawyer. You just be You know,
just a Joe Schmo getting elected.
Joe Schmo.
So those are the offices we got to take back. And if we can do that, I really think we could bring about change quickly because we know they've slowly eroded all these rights and offices over the course of 70-100 years, however long it's been.
Yeah.
And if we're going to make change quick, you know, I really think like we need you, Alex, Harrison, all these people to really at least 10 minutes a day kind of try to plug the fact that we got to flood the independent ticket and we got to take back county offices. But I think that's going to help us a lot, brother. And I'm glad you're healed up pretty good with your eye.
Yep. Well, The eye was the least of my troubles. Let me tell you, when you can't get up and down, I can't get out of the can't get off the couch, can't get out of bed. It's a whole new paradigm that you're living with. But you know, I'm doing good thanks to some old Chinese healing. I will definitely give it to the Chinese with acupuncture. They knew what they were doing there. Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to Judy now. Also has possible solutions. I think we'll put these together as a little solutions segment here. Go ahead, Judy. How you doing today? Calling from Florida.
I'm good. And, Rob, I've got to tell you, and this is a compliment to your wife, I still find you the most handsome guy in alternative media. That's my opinion.
All right.
I'm sticking to it.
Thanks, Judy.
Oh, you're welcome. I was, you know, when you said thinking about, you know, thinking outside of the box, I know that if we don't have something like a debt jubilee, or if we don't have Karen Hood is, if you've ever heard her name, she's, you know, in the banking system. I'm assuming she's still trying to do what she's done in the past, and that's to have our gold repatriated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I don't remember all the mechanisms she said could be used if there was, you know, people cooperating and, you know, what the ability would be to actually go back to a gold-backed system. But, you know, that would mean that whatever is distributed across the planet that belongs to us needs to return back. And that's, I don't know, one of the things I guess the Rothschilds would say no to. I mean, so I guess we're kind of screwed if we don't, you know, do something like that. But I wanted to bring to you guys' attention, on X there is a channel, Maranatha 777. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there is, if you look at that particular feed, you're going to see a brightly colored graphic. It's got waving Israeli flags and pride flags. It's got holograms. It's got drones. It basically shows the future of, you know, the dystopia we're heading long, you know, headlong into. But if you open it up and you see these points that she's put sequentially, I mean, it shows how, you know, and you guys know me, I guess, well enough to know I come from a biblical perspective always, even though I still, you know, want humanity to thrive, actual humans to thrive. But she shows a very prolific and you know, practical look at what it looks like in the book of Revelation with everything opening up. And at the very top is the quantum dot microneedle patch, or that I've heard it called, you know, the tattoo. All of these things, I mean, when the time comes that people are still distributed in 15-minute cities, you can mail these things, and, hey, you just slap it on your arm. Or, you know.
You're going to be printing them off at your house. That's what that's what they want the future to be. They print the new vaccine off at your house, and, boom, you administer yourself. And people will do it, too, because they'll just be like, oh, the government's saying I should do this for my health. Okay.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is whether – I mean, I think you need to have these a nanotechnology that comes in through, it's like a snake bite. If people look it up, you know, that's what gets, you know, that inserts the whole synthetic system into the human body.
Yeah.
And you know, then it can be read under like an infrared light or whatever, or ultraviolet, I don't remember. But the bottom line is, that's the mark.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Go ahead.
So it's not, I don't think anybody should have a spirit of fear about this, but they, you know, have to look at this as probably like the inevitability. And I think Christian communities, Christian people, they're going to, you know, find each other, and there's just going to be ways of helping each other out. But, and you know, we're going to be taken off the planet when God chooses to take us off anyway. But in the meantime, we have to be the ones that are going to, you know, assert our freedom, because we're not, you know, not going to go into smart cities. We're not going to go into the Hunger Games. We're not going to go into the Matrix. We're going to be the ones that are going to be the outlanders. And, you know, there are going to be compounds where we are. And, you know, we're going to stay, though, till the Lord takes us out.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So, Judy, I got to jump. I got two more callers I want to get to before the end of the show. Let's go to Greg in Illinois. Go ahead, Greg. Wants to talk about walking back the Iran war. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, so,
what's up?
I wanted to talk about Iran, but I violently disagree with one of your last callers about these independents. Unfortunately, I'm as disappointed with Trump as anybody. I mean, he completely betrayed us on what he campaigned on.
Yeah.
But what we have is a two-party system, okay? And what we need to do in 28 is the midterms are going to be what they are. We're probably going to lose. It's fine. And the GOP sucks. We have to have Tucker Carlson or maybe Thomas Massie run in the Republican Party and break the Republican Party the way Trump did in 16 and actually deliver on the America First campaign.
You know, until I hear what you're saying, but until they go after this entrenched mafia that is running things, nothing's going to change. You could have Tucker Carlson and Thomas Massie in there. There's two guys against hundreds of thousands of Satanist pedophiles. That's what you got. So I'm all for seeing what Tucker Carlson could do. I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, you know? I'd love to see that, but I'm just saying you need to have, and we need to get money out of politics. We need to make Israel rough. We need to make Israel register. We know what we need to do.
Right.
But my point is 40% of the country is going to vote red no matter what. 40% of the country is going to vote blue no matter what. And, you know, there's this fallacy that there's a bunch of independents, okay? Most people register as an independent, but they don't vote as they either. You have independents that vote for the GOP or you have independents that vote for the Democratic Party.
Right.
Okay? So we need to get a better Republican Party because that's the only way we can go. I mean, we don't have, you know, who do you see on the left that even has good ideas?
They don't want ideas. They don't want ideas. They want people who are in lockstep with their policies. And I think the Republicans want that too at the end of the day. I think they want people that are in lockstep with their policies. And I think the Republicans like to lead from the rear. They like to be the minority party. They like to be, you know, they want it just close enough to where they need to be called upon to get 60 votes in something. That's why they didn't get rid of the filibuster, because they're going to be like, we get to use the filibuster when we're the minority party. We get to say, we get to use the 60 vote majority, and we'll give you a few votes if you give us these things. See, it's not about, neither one of these parties is about helping people, though. And we've seen that. They're about distribution of the assets of this country to themselves. You know, Speaker Johnson, well, we got to let people insider trade. You know, I got no problem if they're selling stocks, but when it's obviously insider trading, you can look at their histories. You can't have that. That's the wrong reason to be. And I put out a 12-point platform, which said, get rid of that. You can't have that. You know, you got to get rid of these things in politics. Thanks for the call, Greg. That was a final caller of the day. Anonymous dropped off, so you got a little more time in right there. But there's Pelosi with her Wall Street fortune teller. Thanks for watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Harrison will be here. I think Rex Jones is going to do The War Room. So thanks for watching.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.